Good morning. Page Yud Daled. We read this tomorrow last week. I want to go back to it. Shalu Romiyim et Rav Yoshua ben Chananya. The Romans asked Rav Yoshua ben Chananya. From where do we know that Hashem will do Tchias HaMesim and knows what will happen in the future? Amarlu Tarvai Minyam Karaza. He said they're both from this pasuk. Shneimar Vayomar Hashem Moshe Chashochev Avotecha Vakam. Hashem said to Moshe, you are going to lie down with your ancestors and get up. Ha'am Hazev Zana, and this nation will stray. So you see, you're going to lie down with your ancestors and get up. That's Tchias HaMesim, and this nation will stray. You see, that Hashem knows the future. So they said to him, V'dilma Vakam Ha'am Hazev Zana. Maybe Vakam goes with the second part. Well, we've got one of the things you asked about, that Hashem knows the future. One could ask, why did they ask these two questions together? If they had two questions, ask one question, get an answer, ask a second question. And secondly, surely Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya knew his answer would not satisfy them, because he knew that the word Vikam could be read with either half of the pasuk. So the Maharit in Drashos Sofnas Paneach Parshas Bo says that they weren't asking, how do you know there's going to be Tchias HaMesim, and how do you know Hashem knows everything? They were asking the famous Yedia and Bechira paradox. How could there be Tchias HaMesim if Hashem knows everything? Because if Hashem knows everything, we have no Bechira. We have no free choice. If we have no free choice, then we don't deserve reward or punishment. So why will there be Tchias HaMesim? And if there is Tchias HaMesim, that means we deserve reward and punishment. And if we deserve reward or punishment, that means we have free choice and Hashem doesn't know what we're going to choose. So that was their question. And his answer was that you have to acknowledge that the word v'kam, hincha shochev ma'avotecha v'kam, if you read it that way, you will lie down with your ancestors and you will get up. Okay, that is an allusion to Tchias HaMesim. Okay, but if you'll tell me that the word v'kam goes with ha'am hazev zana, then it's surely superfluous. Now, if you tell me that the word v'kam goes with kam ha'am hazev zana, the nation will get up and stray, the word get up is superfluous. Just say the nation will stray. What does it mean they will get up? It means they will actively get up out of their own free choice. They will do something to get up. And they will make a choice to get up, and they will stray. so you see that, and Hashem knows that. Hashem is saying, I know that they will use their free choice to get up. So you see, I know, and they have free choice. And therefore, there's no contradiction. When he said, you have at least one of them, in other words, you have at least one of these things in the Pasuk that Hashem knows that they have free choice. Hashem knows that they will use their free choice. So the Pasuk resolves that contradiction. You got that one thing out of the Pasuk. And now you should have no trouble in believing in Tchias HaMesim also, because you don't have anything that contradicts it. So this was an opportunity for us to talk about the famous paradox of Yediyah and Bechira. And as I said before we turned the recording on, I'm sure everybody sitting here could give a shiur on the subject of Yediyah and Bechira, because we've heard so much about it. So I decided if I'm going to talk about it, I have to find some perspective that I'm pretty sure I've never heard before. I hope I'm right, and we'll see. But first, just to review the basics very quickly that everybody knows. Okay. Rambam asks the question, Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Hei, Halacha Hei. Rambam says, Shema Tomar, maybe you'll say, Allah Kadosh Baruch Hu Yodea Kol Ma Shiyah Kodem Shiyah. Hashem knows everything that will happen before it happens. Yedah Shezet Tzadik or Rasha O Lo Yedah. So does he know that a person will be a Tzadik or Rasha, or does he not know? If he knows that Hashem will be a tzaddik, that a person will be a tzaddik, it's impossible not to be a tzaddik. If he knows that he'll be a tzaddik, but maybe he'll be a rasha, then Hashem, you're saying Hashem doesn't know. So does Hashem know or not? You should know. The answer to this question is longer than the land and wider than the sea. Many great principles and lofty mountains hang from it. You need to understand what I'm going to tell you. We already explained previously, Hashem doesn't know outside of himself, like, I exist, and I know something. I exist, and I prepared the shiur. And two separate things. Hashem's not like that. Hashem and his knowledge are one. We can't understand that. What does that mean? Hashem and his knowledge are one. We can't really grasp that. Just as a person cannot know what God is, so too a person cannot understand, cannot grasp Hashem's knowledge. And therefore, it says, so we can't know the answer. There are two ways to understand that. Okay. The Ravid, whose comments appear alongside the Rambam, the Ravid understands. You don't need the book. Okay. The Ravid understands that the Rambam is essentially copping out. He's saying, I have this great question, and sorry, I don't know the answer. Okay, and just accept it. I don't know the answer. The Ravid says, this writer did not act in a very smart way. Why, a person shouldn't start if he doesn't know how to finish. He asked these questions, and he left it as a question. He said, just believe. It would have been better to leave people in their innocence and not to ask the question. People would go on believing innocently and wouldn't be bothered by the question. Okay. The Kesef Mishnah also seems to understand that the Rambam was just saying, no, we can't understand it. We had Pas Shabbos Rabbi Horowitz here. My wife heard him speak last summer, and he said along the same lines, but answering the Ravid's question, no, the Rambam wanted to teach us it's okay not to know. You don't have to, you know, that's one of his big things. You know, teenagers have questions of emuna, and his message is it's okay to have questions of emuna. Doesn't mean you take off your tzitzis and your yarmulke and stop doing mitzvahs. You know, you'll get over it. But that's what the Rambam wanted to teach us. That's one approach, that the Rambam was not answering the question. Okay. And I didn't read the whole Rambam. But the second approach is that the Rambam did answer the question. The Rambam said the question makes no sense because it's not the right frame of reference. We don't know what Hashem is, so it would be like asking, you could ask, is the soup sweet or bitter? But you can't ask, is the table sweet or bitter? It doesn't make any sense. Right? Hopefully nobody's eating the table. Okay? So it's just not the right frame. We don't have the frame of reference to discuss this question. But because Hashem is so beyond us. It's not that the Rambam was copping out and not answering. The Rambam was saying that itself is the answer. Hashem is in a different frame of reference than we are. We can't talk about it at all. Okay. The Rivash Jose Rishon lived in Spain from 1326 to 1408. So he suggests an answer to the Rambam's question that we could relate to. It's all a little bit of semantics. We have absolute free choice. Hashem knows what we are going to choose using our free choice. It's not, the question is, well, if Hashem knows, isn't that in effect a decree? The answer is no, it's not a decree. Hashem knows that we are going to exercise our free choice and choose this. Okay? So therefore, there's no contradiction. Another answer I saw, Lubavitcher Rebbe, he says, if you throw a stone up in the air, you know the stone's going to come down. Did your knowledge make the stone come down? No. Gravity made the stone come down. So if a person has free choice and you know he's going to do something, did your knowledge make him do it? No, some other force made him do it. In that case, his bechira. The gravity made the stone come down. The person's free choice made the person, didn't make the person. It caused the person to do what he did. Just like I can know that this gravity is going to bring the stone down, I can know that through his free choice, he's going to do something. You could ask a question, because, philosophers have debated this question for thousands of years, and each of these answers you could sit and debate them if you really wanted to. But what I want to tell you is a totally different perspective. Okay. And this is the perspective of the Ralbag. Now, the Ralbag, before I tell you what he says, you're going to need some introduction because you're going to wonder why I'm telling you these things. Ralbag lived in Provence, southern France, from 1288 to 1344. Makes him a Rishon. His commentary is printed in the Mikros Gedolos Tanakh. You can't really learn Tanakh fully without the Ralbag. And what's unique about it is that after he explains each pasuk in a running commentary, at the end of a section, he tells you, what did we learn from this story? Okay. What did we learn about Emunah? What did we learn about good midos? What did we learn? Other practical lessons, and there'll be a dozen or two dozen lessons to learn from this. So he also wrote, and according, some say, I don't know where this comes from, I don't know if Ralbag himself writes this somewhere or where it comes from. Some say he was a great grandson of the Ramban. He also wrote a commentary on Chumash, which is not as well known, but it follows the same structure. Actually, has three sections. First, he explains the words, then he explains the psukim, then he tells you the lessons. And lastly, he also wrote a sefer philosophy called Melchamot Hashem, Wars of Hashem. And it is a less well-known sefer. Usually when you read about it, it's because of somebody attacking it, whether it's the Maral or, as we'll see, the Rivash. And the Rivash, even though he quotes what I'm going to tell you in the name of the Ralbag and attacks it very strong terms, but he refers to him as Hachacham Rabbi Levi Zichrono Livracha. His name is Rabbi Levi Ben Gershom. So Hachacham Rabbi Levi Zichrono Livracha, even though he attacks him very strongly, but he respects him. So essentially what the Ralbag says is, there's no contradiction between Hashem's knowledge and our free choice, because Hashem doesn't know. It's that simple. Hashem doesn't know what we're going to choose. Okay? It says this in many, many places. For example, in last week's Parsha, Hashem nisa et Avraham. Hashem tested Avraham before he, the Akedah. It says Hashem tested Avraham. So Ralbag says, Hatoelet Hashishi, the sixth thing that we can learn from this is regarding Deos, regarding Emunah. That what a person is going to do could be outside of Hashem's knowledge. As we mentioned before, that's why Hashem tests a person. Hashem says, I want to know. I'm going to tell Avram to sacrifice his son. I'm curious to see if he'll do it because I don't know, because he has free choice. So I don't know. He says, regarding Hashem going down, says, Vayered, also last week's parsha, Vayered, Erdanaver, Hashem says, let me go down and see what's going on in stone. Why does Hashem have to go down and see? Because Hashem doesn't know. Okay? Now, Hashem knows what we did. It is a principle of our faith that we have reward and punishment. So Hashem knows what we did. But according to Ralbag, Hashem doesn't know what we're going to do. And when we do it, it's not, Hashem doesn't immediately know why we did it. So Hashem had to go down to stone to see, did they do these bad things of their own free choice? Or did they do these bad things because, you know, the environment or some other circumstances? Okay?
I don't understand what that means. Hashem had to go down. See.
In other words,
I understand he's waiting to see. Right. What does it mean he had to go down?
Well, what does it mean at all? Hashem had to go down. So either way, your question, what does it mean Hashem went down? Okay, it means so. This is true according to everyone. Rashi says, "Who Beit Dino? He and his Beit Din. They went like to investigate. They went from here." Rashi says, "From here you learn that Beit Din should investigate." Okay, so it means Hashem, so to speak, went down, so to speak, Hashem went to investigate. Not went, Hashem investigated. Okay? He was investigating why the people did what they did. Why the people did what they did. The mazel. Their mazel made them do it.
Wanted to see how they used their free will.
No, he wanted to see if they had used their free will or whether their mazel made them do it. The stars they were born under made them do it. Again, it's very possible that people do things that Hashem doesn't know they were going to do. Now he introduces this by saying that I'm going to tell you davar niflan elam mikol hakodmim, something amazing that all the prior commentaries missed. Okay. He knows he's telling you something new that will shock you. Okay. He says that Hashem told Moshe, tell Paro, send my people out for 3 days. Okay. Hashem says, "Hinei yadati ki lo yiten lachem melech Mitzrayim lahaloch." I know that he's not going to let you go. But go ask him to go out for 3 days. So what does that mean? It says Hashem knows Paro is going to say no. She says, Hashem knows the environment in which we live. Hashem created us. And out of necessity, he explains in Mechamas Hashem, since Hashem created every detail of the world, Hashem has to know it. Okay? The only thing Hashem doesn't know, according to Ralbag, is how we will exercise our free choice. So when Hashem said, I know Paro won't let the people go, he meant, I know the circumstances are right. The circumstances exist for Paro to say, no, I won't let them go. That would be the natural response, that Paro will say no. Nevertheless, if you tell him it's only for 3 days, maybe you'll convince him. I don't know. Go try it out. That's how he understands. Now, this sounds very disrespectful to God. And Rivash says, one of the questions Rivash asks on this, he says, this opinion, Yeshba Gnut Gadol Latet Chisron V'diat Hashem. It's tremendously disparaging to take away from Hashem's knowledge. Okay. Ralbag anticipated that question And Ralbag in Sefer Mechamot Hashem, Mamar Gimel Perek Dalet, he says explicitly, he says there is no disrespect to Hashem in saying this. Okay. And this opinion is also held by a sefer called Maaseh Hashem, someone who lived in the 1500s, very interesting person. His name was Rav Eliezer Ashkenazi, and he wrote a sefer called Maaseh Hashem. It's a Haggadah that he wrote, was recently republished, very popular. It's always been a very popular Haggadah. So he also addresses it, and I'm going to put what the Ralbag says and what the Maaseh Hashem says and something Rav Arya Kaplan writes. This is in the Rav Arya Kaplan anthology. I don't remember the context in which he wrote it. Kids like to ask, can Hashem create a rock that Hashem can't pick up? Okay. Or philosophers ask, can Hashem create another Hashem? The answer to both questions is no. Hashem cannot create another Hashem. It just makes no sense at all. Now, true, you'll say, well, that's our logic. Our logic doesn't necessarily apply to Hashem. Okay. Be that as it may, okay, it makes no sense to say Hashem, it makes no sense to think Hashem could create another Hashem. Hashem, by definition, is one. Hashem, by definition, is the only one. Okay. Similarly, Rav Arya Kaplan says, Hashem cannot create a rock that Hashem can't pick up. The idea itself, it makes no sense. We don't attribute things to Hashem that make no sense. Therefore, it's not disrespectful to Hashem. It's not taking anything away from Hashem to say that Hashem doesn't know what we're going to choose. Hashem was the one who gave us the free choice. Hashem created a world in which he knows everything except what we're going to choose. That's the way Hashem created the world. And it's only disparaging to say, if I say, you don't know how to drive. You don't know how to use a fork and knife properly. That's disparaging because you should know how to drive and you should know how to use a fork and knife properly. But if I would say, you don't know how to flap your wings and flap your arms and fly, that's not disparaging because there's no reason you should know that. Okay? So if we say that Hashem doesn't know something that Hashem shouldn't know, has no need to know, he created the world so that he won't know, that's not disparaging to Hashem. That's not taking anything away from him that we would have attributed to him. Hashem knows everything. And that's how they understand. Hakol v'dei shamayim chutz mi'at shamayim. Everything is in the hands of Hashem except fear of heaven. In other words, Hashem knows everything. It's in his hands. He knows it. Except for fear of heaven, except for our free choice. Hashem doesn't know that. And that's the way Hashem wants it. That's the way Hashem created the world. Okay. Yes.
Does he address that everything is foreseen in Pekavos? I mean, what do we make of that? Everything is foreseen.
So he would say Mishnah and Perkei Avos. Hakol Tzafui v'Rashut Netunah, and that is actually one of the places where the Rambam talks about this concept, this question of Yediyah and Bechira. Rabbi Akiva says everything is known, and a person has free choice. So the Ralbag would understand it as everything is known. Hashem knows the probabilities. Hashem knows the mazel. Hashem knows your nature. Hashem knows your environment. However, don't read it, everything is known, but a person has free choice. And don't read it, everything is known, and a person has free choice. Read it, everything is known up to the point of the person's free choice, but a person has free choice. That's how he would read it. Okay. He says, Hashem knows the circumstances we're in. And Hashem could predict with pretty good probability, just like a fortune teller or a magician could, with pretty high level of probability, predict what you're going to do. But you could surprise him. That's how the Ralbag learns. Yeah, right. The magician has 87% certainty. Hashem has 99.9% certainty, but you could predict him. You could surprise him.
Okay. He knows the muzzle. He knows the way things will naturally go if you just go with it.
Right. Hashem knows everything. Right. Ralbag acknowledges that. Okay. Hashem knows if you leave things alone, then if you don't exercise your free will, Hashem knows what will happen. Because that's all programmed. But you could break out of it at any time you want using your free will.
So give any examples where somebody surprised Hashem?
Well, he gave example of Paro where Hashem said he might surprise me. That's how Hashem...
Where somebody actually did
no, because
this.
We don't know what Hashem knows. We can't know. We can't... Actually, does he? Let me think. I think it...
Anybody surprised Hashem by doing what?
Well, according to this theory...
Above or below their expectations.
Let me see if I underlined anything in here.
Above or below?
Well, making a different decision, Hashem would have.
I don't recall if he gave. I don't recall that he gave an example.
You know, we're talking about different kings that went with Erech, or you know that they went like this.
Also, okay, that is the body who went to start corrupting. That this example, Abraham, the idol. Say that Hashem provided it just in case Abraham decided not to fulfill it.
Who said Hashem provided it? Maybe it just. He's not obligated to explain his philosophical views in light of every medrash.
How do we understand Adam? Analysis. Did Hashem kind of expect him to do the chet or not? Do we have no basis in any of this to draw a conclusion?
So in Sefer Kedusha Veteva, this is a contemporary of Uri Sharkey. I don't know if you remember a couple years ago, it was a couple about to get engaged. Or maybe they were engaged. I think they were about to get engaged and they were standing at a bus stop. In Yerushalayim, and an Arab rammed the bus stop and killed the guy. That was his son, the son of this Rabbi Uri Sharkey. He's a Rebbe in Machon Meir, which is the Baal Tshuva division of Merkaz Yeshiva Merkaz Arav. Okay. So he says, Hashem gave Luchos, and Israel built the Egel. And then Hashem gave a second luchos. But what was Hashem's plan all along? Okay. There are certainly sources to suggest Hashem's plan all along was to give a second luchos. Okay. So we'll talk about that a little later. I'm not sure that really answers your question, and I'm sure not sure that Ralbag would agree with what he's going to say. But
and then you have to ask, why does Hashem get angry then?
Correct. So we'll get to that. Okay. That is what the Ralbag says. Obviously, that's not the mainstream view, but the Ralbag was a Rishon. The Maaseh Hashem was a great Achron, and hopefully our horizons have expanded a little bit through this. A lot of people didn't like this. There's a Rishon of Chistai Kreskas, and he wrote a sefer called Or Hashem. I don't have it, but what he says is quoted in many other Svarim, including the Barbanel. And Rav Chistai Kreskas has a different answer to this question, which also will probably broaden your horizons a little bit. He says, there's no contradiction between Hashem's knowledge and our free will. Oh, Rav Chistai Kreskas, he attacks the Ralbag in very strong terms. He calls it a foundation of our belief that Hashem does know what we're going to do. So he resolves contradiction a different way. We don't really have Bechira. We think we do. Everything's predetermined. Hashem wants us to think we're making choices, and we're rewarded or punished because of the choices we thought we made. Because since we thought we made them, we did something bad or something good. But really, we didn't make any choices at all. Okay. So the Barbanel doesn't like that. The Barbanel in... I don't have the sefer. I only saw little snippets of it quoted in three different places, including one in the Abarbanel, one is the Sefer Kedusha Veteva that I mentioned, the third place is in Orot HaKodesh, in Volume 4. And so I don't want to speculate about what he says, but that's how he's quoted, as saying there's no contradiction because we don't really have free choice, we just think we do. And that's the way Hashem made the world, that we think we have free choice, so we can be rewarded or punished for exercising the free choice that we think we have.
As soon as you know that, it stops working.
Correct. So Barbanel says, "V'nivhalti, I'm frightened, I'm shocked. Mirot harav chasid hazeh, to see this rav, this chasid, Rav Chisdai Kreskas, boreach me'asaraf ba'esh, misaref ba'esh kfiratim farshim." He's running away from the fire of the heretics, and he fell into it in the end. It's like he would jump from the frying pan into the fire, as we say in English. Okay? That's no better than the opinion he was attacking. Okay? And so Abarbanel, this is in last week's parsha also, also where Hashem says, I'm going to go down and check out what the people of Sodom are doing. Barbanel says, bottom line is, we have no answer better than the Rambam's answer. Okay? Which, again, we saw two ways to understand it. Some say the Rambam was copping out and saying, great question, don't have an answer, live with it. And some say that the Rambam is answering the question by saying, Hashem's knowledge is categorically different than ours. We can't even talk about it. So that is kind of a survey of the views of the Rishonim. Now, regarding the Ralbag, two things about that. Besides that the Rivash referred to him as Hachacham, Zichrono Livracha, in the 1800s, somebody published a sefer in which he just collected the lessons. I told you the Ralbag, at the end of every section of Chumash and Navi, he writes, what are the lessons we're supposed to learn? Someone collected them in a sefer called Hadeot V'Amidot, without the context, just the lessons, and republished them. And he includes here the Ralbag's view about Yediyah and Bechira. And true, Haskamos don't always mean that the person actually looked at it, but these people surely knew what the Ralbag says. Okay. Haskamos include the Malbim, Rav Yishol Salanter, Rav Yishol Leib Diskin, the Netziv. They all said, I'll buy a copy. They didn't say, I'll buy a copy to burn it. I'll buy a copy. Okay. So one of the takeaways is that Judaism is a little bigger tent than we might have believed, even though it was simply collecting the Ralbag's. It's summarizing the Ralbag's teachings, right? Okay. The my Rebbe Rav Moshe Tzuriel, he writes about this that. Okay, clearly it's the minority view. It's not the mainstream view. However, although believing Hashem knows what we did and will reward and punish us is one of the Yogim Likarim, Rambam himself doesn't say that that Hashem's knowing what we will choose is one of the Yogim Likarim. It's not a precursor to believe that. Okay. And he also suggests, really, part of what I built into the presentation, that it's not, the Ralbag himself says this, it's not disparaging to Hashem, because this is the way Hashem designed it. This is the way Hashem created the world. So, you know, who are we to say, you know, Hashem, you're insulting yourself. No, that's the way Hashem created the world. So that is the view of the Rabag and the resulting those who talk about it. Now, there is another way to look at the whole question of Yediyah and Bechira, and that is the view attributed to the Arizal. My sources are Rav Tzadok HaKohen in Sitka Satzadik, paragraphs Mem and Kuf, and Rav Kook in Orot HaTshuva, chapter 16, paragraph Aleph 1. There's a paragraph Aleph, and then there's a paragraph Aleph 1. And that is that really one of the very paradoxes or difficult things for us to understand is the idea that we know Hashem has a plan, and everything we do is we are marching toward the end of days, furthering Hashem's plan. Our free choice, we have free choice, and yet somehow that we can't possibly understand, we are playing along with Hashem's plan. We are bringing the Geula and the end of days exactly the way Hashem envisioned. Okay. So the question of Yediyah and Bechira is not simply how do we have free choice if Hashem knows what we're going to choose? It's actually a deeper question. How is it possible that our free choice and Hashem's plan are actually walking hand in hand, to step by step to the same end? And the answer is that, and this is where Rav Sharkey gives the talks about, you know, the idea of the ego. If you watch the film Forwards, he says, we got the luchos, we built the ego, we sinned, we did tshuva, we got the second luchos. If you watch the film Backwards, that was actually the end, that we get the second luchos. That was where it was all leading. Hashem, for various reasons we can talk about some other time, wanted us to get the second luchos. The classic, really, the really classic, I've mentioned this before, is Yosef and his brothers. They exercise their free choice to sell Yosef as a slave. He ended up in Mitzrayim. Okay, exactly. But that was what was supposed to happen all along. Okay, and Yosef tells them that. Don't feel bad. This is what was supposed to happen. Okay, so then why did Yosef say to them, I'm Yosef who you sold? Why did he rub it in? Okay. If later he's going to tell them, don't feel bad. This is what was supposed to happen. How come when he first revealed himself, he said, I'm Yosef who you sold, rubbing it in? The answer is that I have free choice. I'm gonna do what I want. And I'm gonna be rewarded or punished. Let's focus on the Avera, okay? Because it's easy to understand how my good deeds are furthering Hashem's plan. Let's put those aside. If I do an Avera, I need to be punished. But I can do tshuva. The Chazal say, Gemara says, that if a person does tshuva me'ava, his averos become mitzvos. Why do his averos become mitzvos? Because when I sin, I'm saying, this is what I want. I'm doing what I want. I don't care what you want, God. I'm doing what I want. What is tshuva? Tshuva is saying, and tshuva me'ava in particular, I now realize there's nothing but God. I regret that I had a desire, a will, that was different than God's will. I hereby nullify my will. Now, the action you did still exists, but you nullified your will. you took yourself out of the picture and you said, I'm sorry, I wish I had never done anything contrary to God's will. I wish I had only followed God's will. My will doesn't exist anymore. Okay. Well, if your will doesn't exist anymore, then only Hashem's will exists. But the result of your action still exists. The result of that action must be Hashem's will. So all along, now this is dangerous, because a person now can go off and do all kinds of averas and say it's just Hashem's will. And that's why Chazal say that if a person says, I will sin and I will repent, if a person says, I will sin and I will repent, he won't be able to repent. Why? It's because of this precisely this danger. But if I sin and then I regret it, truly, truly regret it and nullify my will, all that's left is Hashem's will, Hashem's yediyah, Hashem's knowledge, Hashem's plan. And so my sin actually was part of Hashem's plan. And there's no contradiction at all. Okay. And he says, so in Ot Mem, Rav Tzadok says, "Ikara tshuva hi ad she'ir Hashem inav shiyu zdonot kizchuyot." The essence of tshuva is that goes until a person, Hashem lights up a person's eyes so that his intentional sins become merits. Rasal Amar, she'akir v'yavin shekol ma shechata haya gam kein ritzon Hashem. That he recognizes that what he did was Hashem's will. Okay. And he says, this is the meaning of the pasuk, v'atas sebota et libam achornit. You, Hashem, Eliyahu said at the showdown at Har HaKarmel, Eliyahu said to Hashem, you're the one who turned the people's hearts. Okay. And that's what it means, that a person should recognize that it's all Hashem's will. Uketam yidiyahu b'chirash be'er ha'arizal, and this is how the Arizal explained yidiyah and b'chira. Okay. Sheshnehem emet, they're both true. Kol echad b'makom b'fnei atzmo, each one in its own realm. B'makom b'chira sham ein lidiyah, in the place where there's b'chira, there's no yidiyah. What Hashem knows is irrelevant to my choice. B'makom yidiyah sham b'met ein makom b'chira, but in the place of Hashem's knowledge, there's no free choice, because Hashem's knowledge is revealed after I have repented and abolished my free choice. Okay. And when a person achieves this great light through the deep knowledge of Hashem, and that Hashem and his knowledge are one, that's when the zedonos, the intentional sins, become zechuyos. And in letter Kuf, he says, Tshuva hainu shmeshiv oto davar el Hashem yibarach. Tshuva means to return the thing you did to Hashem. V'salamar shemakir shakol po'al Hashem brach v'kolcho. That to know that it all comes from Hashem. The way Rav Kook phrases it is, to the extent that the tshuva is stronger, and the bad is removed from his free choice, and is given into the realm of Hashem, shasham kulo tov, there everything is good. There is no bad in front of Hashem. Okay. So it's the same idea. So he asks, and this, or somebody, when this is Rav Eliezer Castiel, he's a Rosh Hashiva in Israel, and says a student asked him, well, you know, what's a practical lesson for us? Okay. What do we take away from this? Or what use is all of this knowledge? And he said that if a person knows, sometimes a person could get really down. He sinned, he could get really down. he should know that if he does tshuva properly, that he can do tshuva, and that if he does tshuva, Hashem sort of adopts those actions that the person did as his own. Okay. It's used properly, it could give a person chizuk, you know, strength to do tshuva. Used improperly, it will lead a person to do many averas. But as I said, that's what Chazal say. If you plan in advance to do tshuva for your averas, it's not gonna work out. So that is some deeper thoughts on Yediyah and Bechira. Hopefully, I know I learned something. Hopefully,
the final analysis, could teshuva be the free will, the ultimate free will we're talking about?
What do you mean by the ultimate free will? It's certainly an exercise of free will.
I mean the thing, the completely unrestrained free will. Do we have free will to do teshuva?
Absolutely.
Okay. So.
Although even well, no. I mean, even then, there are circumstances where the Rambam says a person's ability to do tshuva is taken away.
Yeah.
Paro is a classic case, but there are others. Yeah. Rabbi Shraul Salanter says, however, that the Rambam doesn't mean. The Rambam says there are 24 things you can't do tshuva for, and there are things Zohar says you can't do tshuva for. Rabbi Shraul Salanter and Nesivo Shalom and many other doesn't mean you can't do tshuva. It means it's just much harder. Much harder. Have a good day.